beginning we're up to Simin Tzadiches Halacha Chof Aleph. Chof Aleph is to be found on page Reish Mem Hey. Reish Mem Hey. We are continuing with the laws of Yom Tov. Food preparation on Yom Tov. Hashoychet Behemot Tov Shelo Yilvdek Es Hareya Ali Achar Sheyafshid Es Ha'ar. It's telling us a technique in order to make it. When you shecht an animal, you have to inspect the lungs to make sure there are no holes in the lungs, no sirchas, or hole in the lung. If there's a sircha, that might be an indication that there is a hole in the lung which would make the animal to a treifa. So when do you do the bedika on the rea? Wait until the achar sheyafshid esar. You could assume, it's telling us the very kiddush, you could assume everything is good. An animal has a chazaka that it's kosher until you know otherwise. So as soon as you do the shechita, that's why you're allowed to make a bracha. How are you allowed to make a bracha? You do a shechita when it's going to be very likely, it's very possible that when you do the bedika, the animal is a treifa. So the animal is a treifa. So you did a it was a bracha levatala. You don't make a bracha when you slaughter a treifa. You know for a fact in advance that the animal is a treifa. The animal is going to die. It's not a healthy animal, and you're not allowed to eat it when you take its life. Even if you take its life with a shechita, you do not make a bracha.
And you make one bracha on a couple of animals, right?
So that helps. That definitely alleviates the problem. But if you're only shechting one bird, only one bird or one animal, let's say only shechting one bird, people, they practice. You have a shechit in training, and they give him one bird to shecht. Does he make a bracha? Of course he makes a bracha. Assuming everything is good, the first time he has one bird, and he doesn't know if it's going to come out okay, he has a right to assume that he'll do it okay, you can make a bracha. The answer is we follow chazaka. Since most animals are kosher, only a meat are non-kosher, that's why you can make the bracha. Now you can argue that today, I don't even know how true it is, if it's really roiv. I mean, they're all kosher, the question is klat. You know the statistics?
On
animals. Yeah. What are the statistics?
20%.
Are what?
Kosher.
That's
it?
What?
Glot.
And kosher? Talk about kosher.
Maybe 60%.
Oh, so also right. Yeah. Glot is a very small percent.
Because you could have a good day on Shita, on glot, you could have something like that. If they get more than 30%, they're already starting to think that something's wrong.
Glot.
Yeah,
glot.
What are you doing?
But kosher, but kosher. So the bracha you can make on kosher. You can't say you can't make a bracha on kosher, but glot. But also,
yeah,
also.
What are you doing on veal? Veal, you have very the kill rate on veal is very low. Of course, they fatten up the veal so they don't exercise, and most veal by far are always going to be tread. You're not going to be kosher.
Not even kosher.
There's no glot by veal. It's either kosher or not. And most of them are not.
Not kosher, period.
You could, they, wow. Days where the guys told me that they shechted 99 and got one kosher.
Wow. So what did it for a bracha? That's a very interesting thing.
So that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah, so you don't have the roiv anymore. You don't have the roiv anymore. So I don't know. It's a very good question. I remember... But it's not even a roiv. But it's not a roiv. If the statistics are that 90% of the animals are not kosher, so and you only
percentages of the animals are not kosher. While the ones are kosher,
while we assume we want to say that it's a chazaka, cheskas chai. You want to introduce another svar. There's a cheskas chai, even though it might very well be true that when you do the shechita, you may discover that not, but when they're alive, you're not. You even 1% is good enough to rely upon. Maybe that's the longest. You know, years ago, the Yanki Lach, someone from Tarvi Dasi, put out a very good book on him, Sechta Chula. I saw upstairs they have a whole stack of them. So in the back, he has some very interesting statistics, where he says that the kosher and non-kosher depends on which part of the world they get the meat from, different environments. Yeah. Animals that are, let's say up north, in Alaska, Greenland.
What they get from Canada.
So where we have cold environment, they're very high percentage are glatt kosher.
Right.
Very high.
Because the animals get more exercise.
But also the air. The air, the environment. The moisture kills. A lot of the animals that we have today come from the south. and the moisture it's very hot, and there's a lot of moisture, and the moisture causes their lungs to develop sirchos. So that's why the percentage is a lot lower. But animals that come from other parts of the world, meat that come from other parts of the world where it's a colder environment. But it's not just a disease. It's not disease. Disease, talking about sirchus, the adhesions on the lungs is related, carries a correlation to humidity. Humidity, and that depends upon different environments.
The breeding ground.
Yeah.
So what about the ones that they're the kosher free range, they have a higher kill rate?
What?
They have these companies now that you have kosher free range cattle.
Yeah, you're going to get a higher kill rate, a higher kosher rate, because the animals are healthier.
Okay, so here
it would be that much more expensive, though it is.
but then you have it free range. Of course, you're wanting to have it free range.
Yeah. Okay, so we have over here this halacha that says that you should first remove the skin, assume everything is A-OK, and remove the skin. And removing the skin was a very great advantage because that's going to prevent the meat from spoiling. If you slaughter an animal and you leave the animal in its skin, very quickly will the animal begin to smell, will begin to decay, will begin to rot. So you want to get the animal out of its skin as soon as possible. So it says here that you should right away remove the skin. Then later in the day, inspect the lungs. Then you discover later in the day that the animal is a trefa, it's not kosher, at least, so now immediately at this moment in time, it becomes muktza, and you're not allowed to touch it because it's no longer l'tzorech achol nefesh. So what are you going to do if you didn't skin it yet? I slaughtered the animal. I immediately checked the lungs. I discovered that it's a trefa. So now I'm stuck with an animal, 5,000-pound animal, whatever it is. And so I would want to sell it to a guy, but I can't sell it until tomorrow. And in the meantime, it's going to begin to smell. And by the time I get around, Yom Tov is over, and I sell it to the guy's going to say, sorry, I'm not going to go buy this animal because it smells, because you didn't skin it. You should have skinned it right away to preserve it as soon as you did the Shechita. So in order to avoid this loss, that the halach is, you could assume everything is A-OK, and as soon as you shechta, you can remove the skin immediately, and then you can do the bedika, and in the unfortunate event, situation, likely, or that possibility that it is a trefa, you've already skinned it. So now the animal will be preserved to some degree until the next day.
Very fast. That's why this is all talking before refrigeration.
Yeah.
Because today, you hang up the meat. If you shecht on a Monday, let's say, and you take in the meat on Tuesday, you're not going to want to eat that meat because it just shrivels up if it's too fast. So you got to hang it for a day. That's why you don't get it till Wednesday, minimum, because if you don't hang it, chill it down to a certain temperature, the meat just shrivels up and it gets, you probably by the time you kosher it the next day, it's going to start to stink.
So you're saying it's better to have aged meat?
Well, no, it's not aged. Age is months. This is an extra day to chill it down so that it retains a shape. Otherwise, the meat just starts to shrivel up and turn yellow fast. So you got to chill it down. So they say if you're desperate for meat and you say, listen, if you take what they call, you're taking hot meat, because it's very warm afterwards also, you're taking hot meat, it's on your achrayis, don't call me up and later say the meat was spoiled. Uh-huh. If you want it, I'll give it to you, but don't complain later.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
You gotta hang it up for at least 24 hours.
And when do they skin it today, when they do slaughter the animal?
Right away.
Immediately, they take out
the right away, skin, because they check,
skin insulates,
they do
it
pretty quick. What?
The skin insulates, it keeps it warm.
They sell today skinless chicken.
Yeah, but that's
what,
done by
before
machine.
She cooks it?
Yes.
That's a machine process.
It doesn't fall apart?
No.
They sell it today. They sell without the skin.
What?
Chicken, yeah. They sell chicken today. Gladmar. They sell without chicken.
You buy the breast. You buy chicken breast.
What?
You
There's a featherless chicken, a genetically.
Okay, listen further. So Ashayka behemob toiv shlaluv like a sarei aliachar shiavshir saar v'kiim yivdeik v'tamz v'timsa treifa asur lihavshita. Next, motul tatla saar behemob b'shachta hayom kidei latzniya. You're allowed to be metalta the leather, the skin of the behemob shachta hayom kidei latzniya. Avlo l'shachta al gabi yisidus. But you're not allowed to spread it out. You could hang it up, but you're not allowed to spread it on top of pegs. You're allowed to move v'shar orosh asum total other types of hides are also our muksa. The feathers, you're allowed to move them to put them away. But other types of feathers, you're not. Let's see the word says over here on the bottom on ois yud aleph. Leach ad liachas sheyavshet or ein lagoyes marsham. B'shem atzlach, the behemah should nishchata be'erv yamtif, yesh lahavshita be'erv yamtif. You should ideally remove the skin erv yamtif. V'yimlo yavshita tzorch la'asos b'shinui. If you did not do so, you can do it on yamtif, but you must employ a shinui. V'imshachad be'erv yamtif, samach l'chashecha, v'lo ho yashos lahavshita. If you did erv yamtif and there was not enough time, then you can do it on yamtif even without a shinui. Mut lahavshita b'lo yashinui. V'chein adin the meritas hanoitzais be'oif of removing the feathers. If you shech the bird before yamtif, remove the feathers before yamtif. If you shech them before yamtif and you get around taking it after yamtif, you have to use a shinui. If you did it the very last moment before yamtif, then you're allowed to take it off in a normal way, even on yamtif itself. V'chein next halach ois yudbeis v'chein hanoitzais me'oif ayin b'shachonarach da'ashaychet lo yimroit hanoitza. One who does shchita should not pull off the feathers kedei la'asay smokam l'sakin, in order to make a place for the sakin. When you do the ma'isa shchita, before you shech the animal, sometimes there are feathers in the way, so you want to pull out some feathers off the neck of the animal in order to make. Don't do it. Just remove the feathers. That's talisha. That's not necessary for the ma'isa shchita. You're only allowed to do for the shchita what you absolutely need. So since it's not critical, you can do a shchita by moving the feather to the side without plucking it out. So you don't need to be over on this halacha. The ayin b'chayi adam shehidi b'shem aprichada. Since anyway you're going to take the feather away later on, because you can't eat feathers after you do the shechita, you're allowed to remove the feathers because the oichel nefesh. So what difference does it make if you pull out the feathers now when the bird is still alive? It's also l'tzorech oichel nefesh. That's the sheet of the chayi adam. To pull out the feathers before the shechita, even on Yom Tov. Ve'ayin b'darkei tshuva, hevi b'shem kama gedolim mechabrim, lahokel limroit hanoitza litzach shechita. You're allowed to pull the feathers of the chayodam on Yom Tov itself. Halacha chabez, mutu l'mloyach basa l'achshirai midama. You're allowed to go and salt meat. You shecht on Yom Tov, and now you are salting it on Yom Tov itself. Afilu hoya efshu l'molcha me'asoli, if you're able to do yesterday. V'davkam yeshboi l'tzavkam yeish boil tzarech hayom. I need the meat for today. What's the malacha of salting? It's ibud. Salting is malacha of tanning. It's a tolada of tanning hides. So that would ordinarily be forbidden on Yom Tov, but being that you're doing l'tzarech hachal nefesh, it is mutter. V'yim yeish by basa yoyser v'hu m'sharei shlo yiskalkel, if you have other more meat. And the only reason why you're doing it is because you don't want it to spoil. Shlo yiskalkel mutter l'mloich hakol b'yachad afilu harbe gamash enet tzarech hayom. You can do it in one shot. Hakol chodot tirchi. This is a yisod that you have in the laws of Yom Tov, even the laws of Shabbos, that you're allowed to make more than what you need if you do it in one shot. If you're making one pot, I only need one serving. I only need one serving of cholent for Yom Tov, so you're allowed to make an entire pot. Once you're making one serving, it's considered in halacha, even though obviously there is more tircha, you have to fill up the pot, you have to hold it under the faucet to fill up the pot for another 2-3 minutes, and you're eating more ingredients, and you're doing more things, so there really is more tircha, but that tircha in the eyes of Chazal is insignificant. The major tircha is to prepare a dish. Once you're doing it for one person, you can already prepare an entire pot. The same principle applies over here. I only need one piece of meat, but I once I'm already salting salting one piece of meat, you're allowed to salt all the meat in order that it should not spoil. It's not considered to be a significant tirchot. But fish, I mean meat that was already was salted, and fish that you could have salted before yamtiv, also lemolchan yamtiv, that cannot be done since already was taken care of. This is not necessary. And if you could have done it, when it comes to fish, it's not significant. The amount of whatever you want to salt it for is not significant, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Halacha Chav Gimel, when a person bakes, you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to make designs. You're not allowed to take stamps and put in a logo or make a birthday cake on Yom Tov and write "Happy Birthday" to Shmerel, Yankel Shmerel. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, because even though you're going to eat the icing, braiding chalos. Are you allowed to braid chalos? I don't know the answer. Are you allowed to braid chalos? Seemingly, it's not necessary. I'm not sure, but we did learn yesterday that you're allowed to stitch. We did learn yesterday that when you make stuffed chicken or stuffing, you are allowed to stitch the chicken with a needle and thread. Even though you're not allowed to eye the needle, that cannot be done, because that could have been done before Yom, but you're allowed to do the stitching. Oh, but stitching is a ma'isa tefira. So you can say this ain't tefira ba'oichlin, it's tanam locha deraisa, and you're doing it l'tzechachal nefesh. So what you ask your question, can you need braid? Braiding is a shayla of boina, to braid on Shabbos. Boina braiding, I think, is boina. What? Braiding? Three? When you do three? Maybe you're right. Maybe vaguely remember that braiding is a shayla of a malach. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Let's see. Kishoitza ma'isa'ifa b'yamtif also has... Vayiven, yeah, it's bayna, yeah. Braiding, you're not allowed to braid. That's a malacha bayna. Vayiven, it says vayiven, vayiviyeha el adam. Vayiven, it says there's a medrash that says vayiven Hashem braided the hair of Chava. Hashem brought Chava to Adam. Hashem beautified Chava, and one of the examples given is that Kadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair. And the word the Torah uses vayiven, the medrash vayiven. From here, we learn that braiding is a tolad of bayna. We had it before. So. By the Hasidim, right? Afterwards, Chava? Chava? But the Hasidim, they do, right? The girls, they braid their hair.
Right. He shaved the head and she went out naked.
Kishaisa Maisa Aifa Biyamtiv also la sois by Tsiurim Ali de Fos Obiyad La Sois Bino Isa is at Tsiurim Ki Oifos Khodimala was customary to make birds and the like. That cannot be done on Yamtiv. Also Limareach Shumdav Biyamtiv Kumbashab is not as smooth. You're not allowed to smooth different types of gels on Yamtiv. Therefore also Lichameim Ner Shal Shaiva Oy Shal Khelev. You're not allowed to heat up a candle of wax. We don't have wax anymore today. We have wax candles today, though they exist. They really exist, wax candles. Our candles are paraffin. What's it called? Paraffin?
That's a wax.
That's not a wax. That's some synthetic type of chemical.
Beeswax.
But that doesn't really melt. That's it's also a synthetic. That's not a real beeswax. These fancy candles. What? All right. But a ner shel shayva or shel chelav ledavka b'menorah is osur. Because shel shema yimarech, you're not allowed to heat up these things in order to have them cleave to the wall. Because you know, so that means that you're not allowed to melt. You're not allowed to melt a candle into its holder. Because if you take a candle, you put on the flame, you're melting it, and then when you're going to smooth, you're going to press that candle into its place, you're smoothing it. There's also a shayla of boina. When you attach something permanently to a makom, it's a shayla of boina. So it's a very big problem. And people on Yom Tov, when they have candles, when they want to light, they always light a candle, and then they have to leave it lit. They have to let the candle go out by itself. So you got to put in the leichter. We've all seen this. Problem is, sometimes when you put on the leichter on a regular Shabbos, some types of leichter, especially the olden days, no woman would put the candle to the leichter unless they would actually melt the candle into the holder. So that's all fine and good when it comes to Erev Shabbos. But when it comes to Yom Tov and you have a lit candle and you have to dispose of it somewhere, you got to put it somewhere, what are you going to do with it? Put it in the leichter? Not my leichter. My leichter only goes in after I melt it, and that you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So that's why on Yom Tov you have to plan in advance.
That's why lights.
Make Abdullah on the second night, let's say Friday Shabbos.
Yeah.
And so you make them I mean, Shabbos Sunday, you know, you're making Havdalah Matzah Shabbos for the second day Yom Tov. We're always taught that if you're taking two candles out of the lechta to go burn Mirage, not to put the nev, you want to make avuka, so people start to put the two candles together, but then they melt because of the heat.
They melt
together and they stick, and we were always told not to do
not
that.
To, so you just made on one candle,
they
on
make
one candle.
Candles now with two
wicks. It's called avuka, a special Havdalah candle for Yom Tov night. A new business, a new way to make money. Someone make a candle that has one candle that has two wicks. That has two wicks, so it's an avuka.
And you have to cut.
It's an avuka.
You have to cut them.
There's a shayla about big machlekes apayiskim when it's Yom Tov, when Mitzvah Shabbat, when Sunday is Yom Tov. What do you do for Havdalah? Are you supposed to put two candles together? It's a big machlekes apayiskim. Some say you can do it, some say you should not do it. Like what he said, because you're going to cause the wax to melt, or you're going to cause the fire to get great, and then when you take it apart, it's kibui. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to do havara, but you're not allowed to do kibui. So when you take it apart, you're diminishing. Two wicks together have a stronger flame. So when you take it apart, there's a getter of kibui. So there are halachic issues. Some say that it's insignificant. There's a machlokes apayiskim, yes or no. So someone invented a new idea. You have one regular candle, looks like a regular candle, but has two wicks. They're probably all the defects. They go to the factory, quality control, they get all the defects, and now they make $1 million. And then they put up ads in the paper, a new chumrah, a segula, found in a footnote in the Zohar, that if you'll do this, Havdalah with Avuka, every single will be a segula for Shaduchim. So everyone should run to the store to buy the special candle that has two wicks, has no shilas. Okay, special segula. What?
You have to cut it because the wicks are like this. The strings.
The string is a defect. It's probably the defective candle. You have to cut it. You have to cut fine. So this is a new. It's, I saw that. Okay. Okay. I didn't buy it. Baruch Hashem. Okay, this is the Sener Shal Shaiva Oishal Chelev Il Dafka Bavidav Shal Bekoyes Hashem Yimech V'im Hashreferes Mimula B'Chelev. If the tube is full of Chelev, Yochel Lina Koyesai B'Dover She'enei Muksa. Let's say you want to light candles Yom Tov night, and you have the placeholder is stuck. There's something stuck in there, and your candle does not fit. So the halacha is you're allowed to take a knife or some type of tool that's not muksa and stick it in to get it out. But you're not allowed to light it. Heat. You're not allowed to apply heat, because when you apply heat, then it's melting. And when it's melting, you're violating the malacha derives of mimareach. And mimareach is not mutter. Only thing that's mutter is litzarech oichel nefesh. And there is no oichel nefesh in this instance when you melt it. So it's also the best thing you can do is to take some type of knife or some type of tool that's not muksa. Well, scissors is a shalom muksa, but you want to say it's a clear. If you want to go take a pair of scissors, which is normally a clear shemachter liyisur, but you use the litzarech gufa, it would be mutter. It would be mutter. So that would not be called muksa in this instance. Then it would be mutter. If you don't use during the week at ever, you're a paperless office. Paperless office means you don't need a stapler and you don't need a scissors. You don't need an envelope opener. Everything is electronic. Okay, let's see what it says in the bottom. Aser l'chabos. That's the next one. Halacha chafchafei. Aser l'chabos ha'esh b'yom v'afil ligrim kibayos. You're not allowed to extinguish fire on Yom Tov, and even to indirectly cause kibuy is aser l'chein liyefer. Aser l'hamid ner dolik b'makam shochel l'nashif haruach l'chabos. You're not allowed to light a candle in a place where the wind will come and extinguish it. Even though right now the wind is not blowing, but since you know that very soon the wind's going to come blow, it is also. So you're not allowed to light, to put a candle in a place where you know for a fact that it's going to go out indirectly. You're not allowed to open a door or a window near a lit candle. It's going to cause the candle to go out. This is a very big problem. This is also on Yom Tov, and it's certainly also on Shabbos, and it's a very big problem when it comes to near Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah you put by the Pesach Beis and the Bechutz. So when you come home from shul Friday night, and you can open the door, and if your Ner Chanukah is by your front door, which many people will want by the window, you're going to cause the candles to flicker. To flicker, which is a very big problem. It's interesting, you know, I didn't even know that when I daven, the menorah is right near the Aron Kodesh. And I've always noticed all the years that when the person who gets psicha, they get psicha, Chanukah, and then it's during the weekday, so Shabbos is not a problem. It could be a problem also on Shabbos, because it's still lit until Shabbos sometimes. They put in a ton of oil. When the person that gets psicha always walks past the menorah, and you always see that in his wake, you see the Neros Chanukah are flickering, because he's walking by quickly to get the Sefer Torah. So always notice that. So that's not a problem because it's during the weekday. But on Shabbos, that would be a real problem because you're causing it.
Careful in the warmer weather if it's got a like the fan or the air conditioner in the room.
You cause it to change. Okay, but here on Yom Tov, this halacha is also the same. There's no exception. You're allowed to light fire on Yom Tov, but you're not allowed to extinguish fire. Let's see over here. Oitz Yud Gimel on the bottom. Also, l'chabos eish ein b'rama demutur l'chabos l'tzorch oichel nefesh im yev shebulav hachi l'hatzil hakader. A very important halacha, and many people ad hayom and zeh use this halacha to turn down the range. That you're allowed, he says that if you have a kedera and the kedera is going to burn, he holds that it's called a tzarech oichel nefesh, you're allowed to completely extinguish the fire. If you can extinguish the fire, by extension, you can lower the flame. And that, many people indeed are lenient. Some people are machmir, they hold you should not lower a flame. You can turn the flame on, as long as it's not through electric ignition, you can raise the flame, you can turn the flame up, but you can't turn the flame down. That can be a very dangerous halacha because it can come l'day sakana. Come l'day sakana, so you got to be very careful how you balance halacha and you want to be machmir, very nice to be machmir, but you have no right to endanger your family. And you have no right to endanger your neighbors. If your house goes up in flames, what's going to be with the next door neighbor? It's not going to be pleasant. Okay, I know someone, Rahman Stun, so the neighbor had a fire. So the neighbor, they were very wealthy people, so they moved out. They went to a hotel, they went somewhere else. What? The neighbors are the ones who suffer. The neighbors have nowhere to go. And the smell, the odor, and the construction, and everything that came with it, they're the ones that are stuck with. So the people who suffer the fire, big deal. So they go to the Hamptons for the next year. But what about people on the block? It's not so posh. So therefore, you want to be machmir. You want to be machmir. You don't want to turn down the flame on Yom Tov. Very nice. No, there's no one home. I'm all alone. No, everyone went away for Yom Tov. I'm machmir. Very nice to be machmir. But think of the consequence if things don't work out the right way. People look who's going to suffer. So this is what he talks about. The Vayin B'taz, the Primogodim Shim, Einim Mechaba Eish L'Gamri, El Mechaba Oro Vayde Zeh Yarbeh Or Motor. If you don't, not Mechaba the complete, El Mechaba Oro, you diminish the flame. The Ali Dezeh Yarbe Ha'or Mutter. I don't know what this means exactly. Shem Einay Mechabe Ha'esh L'Gamri. You don't extinguish the fire completely. Ela Mechabe Oiroi. The Al Yedezeh Yarbe Ha'or. What does that mean? If you turn it out, I don't know what this means. Mutter. I don't know. Va'ayin Baruch Hashulchan Shem Shekosav Al Zed L'fi Zed Necha Bim Bif mutoy shalanu our candelabra shadagun lahalik ulhamshich hacholia lamata katsas uveregazu nismayit oira. You lower the, I'm not sure what this is, and then uveregazu nismayit oira viachakach mamshich hacholia lamalo meir harbe heter gomer huve ein lefachvik al yidei alzes. Somehow it seems what you're doing over here is that you're extinguishing it in order for it to get better. Sometimes they have a wick, and on the tip of the wick, there's some type of extension that's burnt out, and you want to remove that little whatever it's called, that little piece. And when you take away that piece, when you do a shtickel kibui, it ultimately causes the ner to get bigger. So you want, like, it's like a urethra litzarech aliyah. I'm doing a slight kibui now in order to cause the flame to rekindle to get better. In order to make the flame get higher, you have to extinguish a certain section of the wick, of the flame. So he says that's mutter, and he gives an example. Now he's talking about from the Prima God, and he's talking about, I don't know what this is exactly. Somehow you're turning the flame down. Uverega zed, this moment, nismait oira, but the achar kach mamshech achul yulmala, umer harbe hayoyser, harbe, heter gomer hu vein lefak vek al ze, vechein kosa pekaf achayim, the mutter ayin b'shul chasam safsofer, shehelu lo isser, he disagrees. He holds that since at some point in time when you are doing kibui, that is usser. Now, here he comes to what's nogei usser. My ground is discussing the conventional ovens. Uvitanurim shemavashlim aleim al yidei psilos v'nefet. A gas. Neft. Okay, some type of kerosene or gas. Psilois v'nefet or gas with a yom tov dolkim kolayom b'shalheves katan. There's a small flame going on the range. With a shas habishal, when you want to cook magdilim halahath, you increase the flame. The achar habishal roitzim lematoy kibatchila. You want to lower it. So here's the classic shaila kibui. Yesh eitz lezuda haynu shal achash nigmar habishal. After you finish cooking, v'shem yamud oil alalav yagdiach atavshal. The ideal thing to do is that you should lower the flame when the tavshal is still on the flame, and if you'll allow it to remain at this level, it'll get burnt. So then when you're lowering the flame, you're doing it l'chol hadis. Everyone agrees that you're allowed to lower the flame, but if it's going to cause the dish to burn. So if the flame is on high, and if you let it remain at high, it's going to burn. If you put it on warm, low, it's going to be okay. So now you should lower it to low. Once you take the pot off the fire, and you serve all the guests, all the chalent, and now all you're left with is the range that's set at high, it's not so simple. You're allowed to lower it from high to low, because since now there's nothing on the fire is an open flame, there's no kedera, there's no need for you to lower it from high to low. That's a shail of kibui. So what's your excuse? You have to come on to all this heterium that you're not really turning off the flame entirely. But if it's set on high while the kedera is on the open fire, then you're lechatchila allowed to lower it from high to low at this point in time, because if you leave it at high, it's going to burn. The im yanichu litzdadin yikarer v'hu roitz, and if you're going to yanichu litzdadin yikarer v'hu roitz shiachse achamimus, if you turn it too low to the side, it's going to get cold, and you want it to remain warm. Al kemi yochol lehaktin halahav v'shir hazeh shiachse achamimus b'maat v'yachar kach gam kesheyika chatav shel misham lochlo yishu halav katan kirit zaynai. That is the ideal. Lechatchila, no, that for sure not. No one is allowing you to shut it entirely. But to reduce it, he's saying even that is problematic, that we hear a lot about today. To reducing is problematic. The solution is to reduce it when the food is, while the food is there. Because then you have a very good reason why you're reducing it. You don't want it to get burnt. But if once you take the pot off the flame, and now you want to reduce it, it's much more of a problem. What about electric turning off electric lights? It's the same thing. We all turn off electrical lights. What about dimming? Someone has said that you can have a dimmer. I've heard this, have a dimmer. So you don't see too many of
them.
What?
You can dim the light.
You dim, so are you allowed to dim the light? So that's really the same issue. Are you allowed to turn down the range? Years ago, everyone did this. People didn't ask any shilas. They would dim, they would turn the range down to a low setting without asking any shilas.
Rabbi Levine, the old ranges had pilots.
Yeah.
So there was no total extinguishing. In other words,
It was still going. Okay, that's a very good point. But it's not. It's in a different area. It's in a different. I don't know the answer. Could be. You're right. Could be that. That's the reason that you allowed to completely extinguish the fire because it's still really going at the pilot. I don't know. I didn't hear that. I remember when I was a child, we had the classic pilot lights, the ovens, but we always, I was vaguely remember that we were not allowed to turn it off entirely, even though we had a pilot light. So it would seem, if this is correct, is that it's a different section. It's a different section. That the pyre light is one fire, and when you are turn on the gas, you're creating a new fire in a different area. It's considered to be a new kibui, a new havara. And when you extinguish it, it's called a complete kibui. The only advantage is when you have a pyre light, there's no electricity, so you can turn it on. I mean, you can turn it on. On the old ovens, you're allowed to turn on the range on Yom Tov itself. Because the existing flame, because you're making a fire from there's no electricity, you're not doing the malacha of but today you can't do that anymore. Today they don't exist. I think it's probably illegal. Today they don't even have pyre lights anymore.
When you dim the lights at all.
What?
There's no sakana when you're dimming the lights.
When you're dimming, assuming that an incandescent bulb, okay, the fluorescent bulbs, by the way, you can't dim. If you dim them, you break them. You'll kill them in 2 minutes. The LEDs was machzera Torah liyoshna. You know that? The LEDs can be dimmed. That's one of the great inventions. It's not a joke. One of the great inventions of the LED is it's a bulb that can be dimmed. So it's a whole new industry, because for Tkufa, it's an amazing thing. The people who made the dimmers, they were going out of business, because everyone was going fluorescent. So that's it. No one wants a dimmer anymore. All these new homes, all new construction, doesn't work. In fact, it ruins it. So all new construction, there was not part of the equation. No more dimmers. If you want it to be a lower light, so you put in lower voltage. You have a 60 watt, 40 watt, 20 watt. Now, no more fluorescence. Upstairs in the shul, you know, doing upstairs in the shul, everything is LED. Upstairs, high tech, LEDs. LEDs, you can use a dimmer. So all the old people who used to put in the dimmers, they're all coming out of the woodworks, and now they're making different technology. Technology of LED allows it to be dimmed, allows it to go higher and lower. You can have a dimmer on an LED light bulb. You can install a dimmer, and you can control the flow of electricity to give it more or less light, and it won't destroy the bulb. You have to know there's only certain types, but it's readily available. So it used to be years ago, when it came to the bulbs, there was such a thing that if you have a dimmer on an incandescent bulb, you allow too many people would lower the dimmer on Yom Tov. That was a very good technique of turning off the lights. You can lower it. But on LEDs, I don't know the answer. LEDs could be, it's a more complicated technology.
I'm not permitted to do that. There's no sakana.
What?
The flame were allowed to blow up because of the
some of the opinion, okay, we became very religious today, but some of the opinion that you're always allowed to lower a flame. The only Isser Derais, Isser Yom Tov, is Kibui Legamri, to completely extinguish a flame. To lower a flame is not everyone holds as awesome. He doesn't say here that it's awesome. He just says it's a problem, different opinions. He alludes to it by Brown. There are different opinions. Are you allowed to lower a flame? You're not allowed to lower a flame. So what's ideal is not to get into the problem by lowering the flame when the food is on the fire. That way, lichatchila. If the food is not on the fire, he just says it's a problem. There's a problem. Some say yes, some say not. When I grew up, we didn't ask the shayla. It was mutter. You're allowed to lower the flame. You're allowed to lower the flame on the range. You're allowed to dim your lights. Today, we know too much. Today, we became all big Talmidei Chacham, and we know that lowering the flame is not so simple. So many people already are not quick. They'll ask a shayla before they'll actually lower the flame. When they'll have a problem, and they'll realize that it's very hot, it's very dangerous, there are children running around, so then the Rebbe will tell them, you can be samech on the shittas that say that it's not nisah to there's no kibui when you lower the flame, so you can lower the flame. And if you have the eights of having the food, that would be the best thing possible. And that would mean that you can't dim your lights either anymore on Yom Tov, because it's the same issue of dimming lights. But when we deal with LED bulbs, there could be other issues. I don't know what the issues are. LED could be, it's a different technology, that it's more of an electrical issue. Than it is a havara, because LED is not havara; it's some other type of technology which could have nothing to do with havara, and then all these rules will not apply. All right, let's stop over here. We'll take a 2 minute break. We'll do that one tomorrow. All right.